The Freightliner Cascadia with SCR Blue Tech technology has been customer tested and customer approved. Visit FreightlinerTrucks.com to see real customer videos. The Midnight Radio Network, Eric Carley, Harry McNamara, Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here. It is, wait a minute. Yes, it is Ask the Law. Welcome, guys. How are you?
Well, no, it's what Monty did on the summer vacation. He's telling me the story, the great stories about being in Northern California and the coldest summer he's ever spent.
Yeah.
The coldest winter I ever spent was June in San Francisco.
That's right. We are here for Ask the Law. It is Monday, June 7th, 2010. Wait a minute. Let me double check that. Yes, it is. And it is Ask the Law. And we want to remind you that the information and answers to questions are up to date. At this time, can change without notice statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. So don't forget, drivers, you can always go to the website, askthelaw.org, click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law to submit your CMV questions. Trooper Dial, how are you?
I am doing fantastic, and I want to welcome all the truck drivers to Road Check 2010.
Here we are, Road Check 2010. I'm going to start out with a question. Drivers, if you have a question about hours of service, any other regulatory item, please get it to us right now, 800-288-9227, 800-288-9227. CSA 2010, hours of service, all that. Get us a question right now. Remember that all the statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial consider to be opinions only on the program. So I have a question. When did I-35 become the Autobahn?
Holy moly, the traffic
wasn't bad at all. The drive was awesome. I made San Antonio in about an hour and 15 minutes.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It was unbelievable. We were going down Friday morning. First of all, Friday morning traffic, and we were thinking it was going to be heavy traffic. It was smooth sailing through Austin. I never, you know, you always get to that Austin clutter when you, especially in the morning. Nothing, absolutely nothing. So I don't know if people were on vacation or what was going on. Zero. And then coming home late Saturday night, it was just smooth sailing. They've raised the speed limit to 70 or 95, whichever you choose, I think is the idea. No, it's 70 miles an hour on that stretch.
Yes.
Most of the way now.
Yes.
I think you know what it is? All that construction I was used to, there's still some construction. All that construction is gone.
Yes, that has happened too.
They have finished up a lot of that construction. It looks really great. I didn't recognize a lot of it. It's probably been a year since it was, in fact, a year. I went down for my brother's wedding to Corpus and then came up to San Antonio and then I-35. And it was awesome. It was really, really great. Made great time. Plenty of lanes. Plenty of places to pull off, which, of course, now in those construction areas that remain, that's not the case. You still have some walls, some barriers, so you don't necessarily have any shoulders in a few spots. But now with the completed areas, you have plenty of room, plenty of on and off. It was really awesome.
When I went, I had to go to a meeting. October of 2001.
Right.
They called all of the compliance review troopers.
Yeah.
Got called to Austin, and we had a big meeting down there. And that was when the meeting was to prepare to go back to the trucking companies that were involved in the transportation of hazardous materials.
Mm-hmm.
Because the month prior to that, 9/11 had just happened.
Right.
And so they were, FMCSA was gearing up to, for the next attack.
Right.
And they figured the next attack was going to come through the transportation, through trucking.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted, all the CR troops to go down, and we were dropping all of the compliance reviews, and we were going and doing what was called safety security visits.
Right.
Just going to trucking companies, hauling hazardous materials, and finding out do they have a safety plan in place. If not, sit down, work with them, and try to.
Yeah.
And at that time, we had the state director from FMCSA down there, and he told us in 2001, for the next 25 years, there will be a portion of Interstate 35 from the Texas-Oklahoma line
right.
to Laredo.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, there will be construction on Interstate 35
yeah.
for the next 25 years, and their intentions are to make it three lanes in both directions
yep.
all the way.
Yeah. It's amazing how great it is in the areas that are completed.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. It really was great because I felt I didn't, you know how you in the past during in those construction zones, you feel crowded.
Yes.
You get into an area where there's barricades and everything else. And I just kept thinking of all that. First of all, I know it's I-35 and I know this is a weld up, but it was really great to see so many trucks on the road. Where over the last year and a half we didn't see as many.
Yeah.
And it was just awesome to see at night. The rest areas were nice and full. And again, I know it's I-35 in Texas, and a lot of that on I-35 hasn't slowed down much, but it was just great to be in an area where there was so much truck traffic, because it tells me that these drivers had those trucks full. So it was just amazing. We made it back home, and I never got above ever the posted speed limit. Never felt I needed to. Of course, mm-hmm. I wasn't in any hurry. But 70 miles an hour, we were all moving at a great click. The traffic was really good. I didn't see a lot of folks that were out there that just seemed to be in too big of a hurry. That was the past, you know, and Gary made the comment. You know, he was saying on Friday, he goes, man, I wouldn't want to be you driving down to San Antonio this morning, because in the past people feel, you know, they were right on your bumper. You felt like you were
right.
kind of being rushed and crowded and everything else. Nothing like that now. It's just amazing the progress they've made.
Well, it's what happens is when you take a two lane road, traffic seems to bottle up.
Yeah, it did.
And it was
always bottled, it seemed.
It seemed like there would be groups of people that would be traveling at or below the speed limit,
mm-hmm.
and there would always be somebody else
in
wanting,
both lanes
and, you know, wanting to travel faster.
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden now we get two people traveling pretty much the same speed, trying
right.
to pass each other. Well,
right.
first thing you know, now then you got traffic stacked up behind you.
Right, right.
But when you take that third lane, now then, it gives those people that have the tendencies that want the speed.
Right.
It allows them to clear that traffic.
Right.
And the everybody else that wants to drive, you know, close to the speed limit.
Right.
Then, you know, it gives them two lanes to stay in, and the third lane is for those that want to break the law.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there were a few of those. I saw those. Those guys are still out there, of course. In every, I just couldn't. I was up at 70 miles an hour. I was now, you know, coming home at night at 65, and I felt comfortable anywhere between 65 and 70. Anything above 70, you know, I especially at night, I don't trust my eyes. I don't trust that I can't see things. I've hit road hazards and objects in the road in the dark before, so I just don't trust that. But
it's called not driving past your headlights.
You know, that's the whole idea for me. Back years ago, I hit something on I-44, and we were traveling home, and it was just a cold, blustery, wintry night in Oklahoma, and we hit this huge piece of metal that had fallen off a flatbed, in fact, and we caught up with that flatbed driver at the next stop, and it was just really scary, because it seemed, you know, I mean, you didn't see it, and all of a sudden, boom, you
mm-hmm.
hit it. But so I just don't trust that it's the road hazards, not necessarily the other drivers or myself, things that I can't see. So it was a good trip. It was I-35 was certainly a much better experience than it has been in the past. You said it, CVSA 2010 Road Check is here. It starts now. It's going to start today is the 7th. It will start tomorrow, or will it start later today?
It varies. The FMC or CVSA target is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right.
There are some states that will do it for the whole week. They'll start today.
Yeah.
And they'll shut it down sometime Friday.
Yeah.
But the big emphasis is going to be starting at 12:01 on the 8th,
mm-hmm.
and ending at 11:59 on the 10th.
Coming up after the break, I want to talk about what this means for CSA 2010.
Okay.
The pre-employment database and everything else. And does it necessarily start with CVSA 2010? I'll have you answer that question and more. It is Ask the Law. We are back with retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And make sure you go to askthelaw.org. We thank them for making this possible every single month. We're back in a moment. If you want to get on board, do it now.
At 800-288-9227. The Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Carley.
And we want to remind you, this is Ask the Law for Monday, June 7, 2010. All the information and answers to questions are up to date at this time. Can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. And we want to thank our friends over at Old Blue USA for making this possible. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. Go to askthelaw.org. Click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law to ask your questions anytime. Here is the official release from this came from Brad Stotler over at trucking.org, part of the ATA. There, it's one of their websites. The Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance will conduct its annual road check event officially June 8th through the 10th at more than 1,500 locations across the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Road check is the largest targeted enforcement program on commercial vehicles in the world. The event mobilizes thousands of federal, state, provincial, and local inspectors to conduct comprehensive North American standard level inspections, level one inspections, and other related roadside enforcement activities. The ATA will join representatives from the FMCSA, state enforcement agencies, and other safety organizations at International Press Conference, in fact, on June 8th, which will be on Tuesday, to kick off the event. The big brouhaha, where
yep.
I'm sure they all eat rubber chicken at a banquet and then come out and say, here we go. All right, so CVSA Road Check. Now, this has been going on for quite a while. For,
I think this
for many
is,
years.
What, the 26th, 27th,
28th? Yeah, here are some, and in fact, it doesn't say that here how many years it's been going on, but you know better than, I think, than most. Last year, 9,683 CVSA and FMCSA certified inspectors at 2,145 locations across North America performed and recorded 72,255 truck and bus inspections, 72,255 inspections. Of that total, there were 56,486 NAS Level 1 inspections, the most comprehensive roadside inspection, as we know. Road Check 2009's record total of overall inspections and Level 1 inspections showed significant declines in vehicle and driver out-of-state or out-of-service, rather, rates, as well as a significant drop in safety belt violations. Data showed the highest overall vehicle compliance rate, 80.4%. Gary and I were talking about this recently. That's pretty darn good. We were, in fact, we were a little bit off, and what we thought would be, you know, the out of service since 1996, and the highest overall driver compliance rate of 95.7%.
Yeah, what did I guess?
Whatever, 67, something like that.
Yeah,
like two-thirds, which I guess would be right off the top. Wouldn't be too bad. Then, of course, you realize that would put about a third of the drivers statistically out of service. Coming up in just a few minutes, I want to talk more about these numbers and what they mean for the pre-employment screening program.
Okay.
What this is going to do to a driver's record, these inspections that they do here, whether it's a level one or not, there are many questions that come out of this. And what about 2009? What about Road Check 2009? How does that affect it all? I was watching Ice Road Truckers. They had a marathon. I couldn't turn it off. My wife says, "You're supposed to be asleep. It's an Ice Road Truckers marathon. It's not my fault." And one of the guys actually got put out of service.
Yes,
and
last year.
Yeah, his brakes were 8.5 and 9.5, not quite making that 10 mark. Well, that was kind of chuckle at that. But I want to talk more about Road Check and what that means for drivers under CSA 2010. So stand by. It is Ask the Law. We are back in just a moment. Get on board now.
800-288-9227. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And we want to remind you, this is Ask the Law for Monday, June 7th, 2010. All the information and answers are up to date, can change without notice. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial considered to be opinions only. Thanks to Old Blue USA for making it possible. Go to askthelaw.org. You can submit your questions anytime. Click on the big red button that says email, Ask the Law. Here we go. All right, CVSA Road Check. Been around, as we mentioned, for quite some time. Now we put into the mix this pre-employment screening program by the FMCSA, which is actually not an official part of CSA 2010, but it will be used by carriers to essentially take a look at drivers and their records. So what from CVSA Road Check could show up on this pre-employment screening program for a driver, and how far back are we talking?
Well, when I first heard them talking about the CSA 2010, one of the things that they mentioned was the data was going to be pertinent for this year's road check.
Right.
And I'm sitting there scratching my head. Okay, let me make sure I understand this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that the pre-screening of the employment program, it's based upon 3 years' worth of inspections. So I'm sitting there thinking, how is it going to be just this year?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to they have a three-year history already established.
Mm-hmm.
So 2008, 2009, 2010 is what's going to be in the database.
Right.
So what happened if you went through a roadside inspection during road check of 2008? That data is going to be there. The data from 2009 is going to be there,
mm-hmm.
and the data from 2010. So I failed to get the point that they were trying to make, that it looked like only 2010 road check data was going to be there, because the database is going to have 3 years worth of history in there.
Right, right.
So where's the big brouhaha?
Yeah, it will, as far as we know, go back to 2008 road
yes.
check.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the next question is, with these inspections that are being done, essentially, it doesn't have to be a level one inspection.
No, it's any, and they're FMCSA has what we call six levels of inspection.
Right.
Most of your truck drivers are going to go through a level one, a level two, or a level three.
Right.
Level one is the most intense. That's where they'll get underneath the truck, and as well as the outside. Level two is just the walk around.
Mm-hmm.
Then a level three is just the driver's documents.
Okay.
Level four is a special emphasis. A lot of times they'll do like a brake check.
Right.
They'll inspect just the brakes.
Yeah.
Level five is your terminal inspection. We have a level one. We've got a vehicle, but we don't have a driver.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have level six, which is for the transuratic waste, hazards, or radioactive waste,
right,
that's going out to Arizona and places like that. But typically, you're during road check, you're going to have a level one is going to be the primary. That's what everybody, you know, that's the law enforcement, that's going to be their goal, is the level one. If they don't have someone to crawl underneath the truck, they might drop down and do a level two. Or if a driver comes in and they say, let me see your logbook, and they find something, you know, wrong with the logbook, they'll say, okay, pull over here. We'll do just a paper
right.
inspection.
Okay.
But level ones is going to be the primary target level of inspection that they'll be working on.
Yeah, so the majority of them will be a level one.
Yes.
All right. If aside from road check, if there is a level three where they're looking at the driver's documents, what is it that they're looking for, and does that necessarily, do they, on the follow-up of a level three, do they say, okay, I'm just going to cite you for not doing an inspection, not having the proper paperwork to show me you've done an inspection, or do they automatically say, okay, we're going to, since you don't have the documents that I'm looking for, the information I'm looking for, we're going to do a level two or level one inspection. What usually is the procedure?
Well, a lot of it is just going to depend upon the trooper himself.
Right.
If he's out there working and he stops a truck, and when he's walking up to interact with the driver, if he doesn't see anything wrong, then you know, there's a good chance that he may do just a level three. Look
yeah.
at the documents, check it, fill the paperwork out, and send the driver on down the road.
Right.
We'll keep him tied up. Now, if he's walking up and he sees something wrong, then they'll sit there, and a lot of times they'll go ahead and do a level two.
Yeah.
Typically, level ones are not done on the side of the road. One, it's officer safety as well as the safety of the driver.
Right.
Texas has a policy that there will be at least two people anytime a level one is done, and it will be done at a location other than on the side of the road.
Usually, go to
a scale house,
area,
or
scale
they'll
house.
They'll if they've got a location. I know here in the Dallas area. We used to do a lot over at Texas Stadium before they tore it down.
Oh, really?
We would go out there and use one of the big parking lots, and we'd go out and shag trucks, say, follow me. We'd take them back up there and do a level one inspection there.
Right. Yeah. Usually, again, you've kind of predetermined that you're going to, at that point,
yes.
do some random checks.
Yes.
Kind of like your own mini road check.
Correct.
Essentially. 800-288-9227. All right. Stand by. Bob in Missouri and others have questions. I want to talk more about road check, more about CSA 2010, lots more. There's a lot of stuff coming out, and we'll talk about that with Trooper Dial. If you want to get on Ask the Law, here's how you do it. 800-288-9227. We are back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
It is Ask the Law, courtesy of Obu USA, for Monday, June 7, 2010. All the information and answers are up to date, can change without notice. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. Let's go to your questions at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Bob on 44 in Missouri. Bob, hi. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi there, guys. Very informative show. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
My question is, I know the law covers a vehicle hauling Class 3 hazmat. You can't smoke anywhere within 25 feet. I wasn't sure if that covered the inside of the truck, inside of the cab.
It, depending upon what you're hauling, Bob, in Part 397, it lists the items that you are prohibited from smoking when you have these items, explosives, flammable liquid, right. And there may be one or two other ones in there but I know the explosives and the flammable liquid come to mind, and it's anywhere on or within 25 feet.
Yeah, so that would cover inside the cab.
Yes.
Okay.
There you
okay.
go.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Bob. We do appreciate that. You know, that's a really great question. Of all the years we've been doing this, I don't know that we've ever had that question, but that's something I've thought of when I see a tanker fueling at a location, when they're actually filling the tanks at a gas station. The placarding on these flammable materials, we do know that they're hazmat. Is there a separate placard or label that has to be on that truck for those flammable materials? Is that part of the law, or is that just courtesy as a matter of policy?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend. The hazardous material is broken into 9 different classes.
Right.
And you have some... as an example, Class 3 deals with your flammable and your combustible liquids.
Right.
And a Class 3 placard is typically red to denote fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into explosive. It's orange. And you've got umpteen different divisions in there.
Right.
Then you get into your corrosives, which are the 8. Radioactive is your yellow, the 7s. So each one of the different placards
is going to indicate
which one of these 9 classes it is. Then you start getting into various divisions
right.
within that.
Right.
But to give Bob an answer, it's the explosives. Class 5, which is your, believe your spontaneously combustible material. Then you get into the 2.1, 3, and 4.1 and 4.2.
Right. This is one thing that I see on a regular basis, is that you will see someone at that gas station or fueling island or something where they are smoking, not necessarily a truck driver, like an employee will be taking a smoke break outside.
You're not supposed to be smoking anywhere close to where a vehicle is being fueled.
Yeah.
Whether it's from the tanker fueling the tanks underground.
Right.
Or if it's someone fueling their car.
Right.
Simply because the flammable vapors
yeah.
of a flammable liquid...
are especially combustible.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, you talk to truck drivers that haul gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
They say an empty tanker is more dangerous than a loaded tanker.
Right, right, because of the
simply
fumes.
Because of the vapors
right.
that are in that tank.
Right.
Where if you put a liquid in it, now then you have a smaller vapor area. Yeah, if a catastrophe was to ever occur and fuel was to ever leak out,
right.
yeah, you've got a big one. But as far as the actual trucking, if there's no incident that happens, just because you've got a empty tanker that has the vapors, it's more of a danger than one that's got thousands of gallons in there.
I want to talk about, coming up after the top of the hour news break, I want to talk more about CVSA Road Check 2010 and some of the things that you personally, as being a part of this in the past, have experienced, have seen there, and what's typical, and also what the drivers really can expect this week with, again, Road Check 2010. It is here this week, and we're going to focus on that on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.